spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you are with us. And we are going to continue playing some audio clips and some, now today we'll play some video clips too, of the late Phil Haney warning about much of what is now unfolding in America. Last night I had Todd Binsman on my broadcast live from Mexico. I texted him out of the blue yesterday. I said, hey, Todd, anything new going on? And man alive, was that the right question? My text started filling up with information from Todd Binsman. And you will remember, Todd is the author of a book, which I highly recommend all of you get a copy of and read. I'm going to tell you the name of it again here in a second when I bring it up on my phone. But he wrote this book. Logan, maybe you can remind me the name of the book again. You get a chance. But he wrote this book about jihad. Here it is. America's Covert Border War. America's Covert Border War. And you can find it, of course, you know, where books are sold and online or whatever. America's Covert Border War, the untold story of the nation's battle to prevent jihadist infiltration. And so I texted him yesterday. I said, hey, anything going on, anything new? And all of a sudden, my text filled up with all these pictures. He's in Mexico, and he's talking about the Mexican government that is helping to move these immigrants, illegal immigrants from all over the world, some of them from known terrorist nations, nations where we have to be concerned about terrorism. They're helping move them into the U.S. Now, this is interesting because of the fact that Phil Haney was warning about this. He was doing TV shows at this news desk, and I can play some of them for you, warning about our southern border and the people coming over our southern border. Now, this doesn't count the people that the government knowingly lets in, who are terrorist tied. So he starts sending me, Todd Binsman starts sending me these pictures. And one of them includes a United Nations guy. I don't know, Logan, if you have it in there. But one of them includes a United Nations guy, okay, with his little blue shirt on. It's UN right on the back of his shirt. And what are they doing? They're giving out these cards. And they keep putting money on them. I thought it was a one-time thing. But it's not a one-time thing. They keep putting money on these people's cards. See these little cards? This guy's holding a card. He's holding one of these debit cards for those watching on television. I'm just lifting up my phone and showing. I got another picture somewhere here. Oh, they got on the screen. Now, look. So there's that debit card, business card. And they keep filling that thing up. Apparently this gentleman here was getting upset because he needed his money put, you know, on his card, more money put on his card. But Todd has an article over at CIS.org. There's the UN guy with his blue shirt. And Todd has an article out about the fact that the Mexican government is now taking these people. Now, at one point, they had like 50,000 of them, 50,000 of them congregated in one spot. And they were making a real mess there in Guatemala. Where was he last night? Guatemala or wherever he was. They were making a real mess of the town. And the Mexicans decided they needed to take these people, give them QR codes, put them on about, I don't know how many buses he said. It was just tons of buses. Organizing them with QR codes and then taking them and spreading them out along the border so they could move them in small groups over the border. He says, over at CIS.org, Todd writes this, headline, Mexico's duplicitous ant operation. Moved tens of thousands to the U.S. border, sight unseen, and will again through 2022. Mexico is now camouflaging mass migration it is supposed to be blocking. All right? And you're seeing, for those watching on TV, you're seeing his B-roll footage. He went on to show us last night pictures of guys that he interviewed and the country they're from. I think it was Tanzania. But he's concerned because some of these, Uzbekistan, because some of these could be jihadis. Remember, that's the subtitle, jihadis is in the subtitle of his book. He said, now look, some of these people are just immigrants and they're wanting to come over for a better life. Then there are those who are upscale. Upscale meaning they're staying in 4 or 5 star hotels and they have their smuggler who's, so they got money. And their smuggler is getting them over the border. Now he says, those folks don't hang out with these folks down here on the street. He had to go looking for them, Todd did. And he did, and he found some of them. And he took pictures of them and sent them to me. And he said, now these people are from Uzbekistan. And the concern is the possible jihadi terrorist ties. And they stay with their smuggler, and they stay in nice hotels, and they go around in cars, and they go to restaurants. And when he told them he was a reporter, started asking questions, they wanted the police to deal with him. Now, again, are you hearing this on your nightly news? No, but one of the people warning us about this was Phil Haney. And Phil Haney was also warning us about something we don't hear a lot about on the national news, and that is terror tunnels. Now, we hear about the terror tunnels in Israel, but did you know that Phil Haney was warning about lots and lots of terrorist tunnels coming into the U.S., and that members of Congress look like a calf looking at a new gate? Huh? What you talking about? You guys do realize most of the people that are members of the U.S. Congress are morons, right? If they weren't morons, they probably wouldn't be there. That's why they're there. They're handpicked because they're dumb as a box of rocks and will do what they're told. And most of them are compromised. They're on video doing disgusting things, some of them, I'm sure. They're on the take. They've been paid off. They've been blackmailed. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them. Look, I used to go up to Capitol Hill years ago when I represented a homeschool group and a big national association of Christian schools. Some of these Congress people are dumb as a box of rocks. That's why they're there. They're controlled. And they're in both parties, controlled opposition. And so Phil, you're going to hear in one of these videos, says you go up there and you try to tell them there's terror tunnels on the border. Now, what do you think these folks have slipped into the U.S.? What do you think these people have slipped into the U.S.? What do you think is already here? I have a friend of mine that retired October 1st. Hold on. Coffee. I have a friend of mine that retired October 1st, military intelligence. I've told you about it before. 600 agents answering to him. Expert on collecting data. Let me just say that. I mean, I'm going to be careful what I say, but let me just say he was an expert on harvesting and collecting data. And I mean lots of data. Lots of data. Lots of information. Lots of pictures. Pretty much anything he wanted, he could get. And then this information was disseminated to intelligence agencies. Now, he's one of the good guys. He's one of the good guys that wants to respect your civil liberties and your constitutional rights and your privacy. He is not interested in what you're doing, what you're looking at on the internet. He's not interested in you. He's one of the good guys. Retired October 1st. He told me after we did our piece on the Club K cargo system that we did extensively in my documentary Sabotage at sabotagethemovie.com, the Club K cargo launching system, which, by the way, Phil Haney is the one that told me live on the air, oh, you want to know something interesting about the Club K cargo system, Brandon? Go look at the oil company, the Venezuelan oil company that's collapsed. Guess who bought half of that? Russia. Citgo. Now, we're not concerned about the Citgo gas stations. We're talking about the oil refineries, oil terminals. Half of those now, the stock, about half of it's owned by Russia, which gives Russia cover to bring in the Club K cargo launching missile system that looks like a railroad car, but they push a button and the lid pops up and up pops 4 silos that can shoot off cruise missiles with nuclear, biological, chemical weapons on the end. And we're giving contracts according to numerous sources, to the former head of Saddam Hussein's nuclear program, Dr. Jafar, his family, and giving them access and a long-term contract to Port Canaveral, Florida. Plus, they're working on one in Delaware and a couple other places. Now they have cause to bring in these container systems and drop them down all up and down the East Coast. Because you go and look up Citgo's oil refineries and oil terminals, and Phil Haney live on the air said one night, oh, you want to add another piece of the puzzle there, Brandon? Let me tell you about Citgo. And he told me this live on the air. It's on video. So you add what they can smuggle in through our cargo container systems. If you've ever seen the movie Sum of All Fears, if you've ever seen the Tom Clancy movie Sum of All Fears, that's what we're talking about here. There they smuggle in a vending machine that has a massive nuclear weapon inside the vending machine, and it goes off on the East Coast. Tom Clancy got visited at times by the intelligence people because they're like, where are you coming up with the technology you're putting in your films? He was so cutting edge. It was not fiction. It was faction. Fiction mixed with fact. It was very, 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 very plausible. And there's some believe that they offed Tom Clancy because of what he was working on. But if you've seen that film, Sum of All Fears, you understand kind of what we're talking about here. Sneaking in nuclear weapons, dirty bombs, biological, chemical, etc. Now we've got these cargo containers. Now we've got terror tunnels. Now we've got the United Nations paying these people as a mass, listen now, as a massive, massive, massive distraction. Now the good guys on the border are having a hard time keeping track of who's coming through because so much is coming through. It's like a turnstile, and they've overrun the turnstile. You got 35, 40, 50 turnstiles at a ballpark, and they're all coming through, and you can't check their tickets because they're all just pushing through the turnstiles, and you've lost control, and they're all in the building now. And you don't know who's here. You don't know who's a legitimate ticket holder and who's not, right? They're pushing through our turnstiles in such big numbers, the bad people, the dangerous people, are slipping in with them. And don't tell me that's not part of the goal. So you add the cargo container systems. You add the contracts to these Jafar families to run these cargo container terminals. You add the terror tunnels. You add the pouring over our border at record numbers, up to 2 million last year. And who was trying to warn about all this? Phil Haney. Phil Haney was trying to warn about all this. And he was talking specifically about something called Operation Cassandra. And we're going to get into Operation Cassandra tomorrow. Some of the last texts to me from Phil Haney was saying and asking, how many shows have I done with you? And then he apparently went and totaled them up before I could and answered the question back. And then he started talking about Operation Cassandra and all the shows we had done on Operation Cassandra, which the Obama administration had shut down. Well, we've got a lot to get to. Don't go away. When I get off the air. All right. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Just had to send a quick message back to Mike Lindell there. All right, so we are going to go to some audio now of the, you know, the balance of the recording from yesterday. July 25th, 2019, my interviewing Phil Haney. For those who don't know, Phil Haney was found shot in the chest by his truck at a park and ride in California 2 years ago next month. And wouldn't you know it, they can't figure out who did it. They can't tell you what's going on. Oh, it's unsolved. Unsolved mysteries. Yeah, that's interesting because there was a guy that blew up downtown Nashville on Christmas Day last year, a year ago this Christmas. Boy, they had that figured out within 24 hours, right? A manifesto, his whole, everything, done. Locked up, buttoned down, 24 hours later, done. But nothing about the murder of Phil Haney, which will be 2 years ago next month. So this was July 25th, and by the way, for those, again, the new people, Phil Haney wrote a book called See Something, Say Nothing. They convened multiple grand juries in the Obama administration to try to indict him and send him to prison for doing his job and actually stopping terrorist-tied jihadis from coming into the U.S. Yeah, you heard me. The Obama administration, Hillary Clinton and others that he talked about, Clapper, they apparently wanted terrorists in the U.S. They wanted them here. Not only do they want them here, they want them in the U.S. Congress. Terrorist-tied people speaking at terrorist-tied banquets and fundraisers. But who are the domestic terrorists? You, the patriots, the Christians, the conservatives. You're the threat while they play patty cake, literally, with known jihadis that they let into the U.S. They let them go into the U.S. Congress. They give them the high-ranking FBI director's ward to known jihadis, Comey. See, these people are like dirt on your shoe. That's how beneath us they are. We should forget their names. That's how low they are. They are mud on our shoes. So you should forget their names every now and then just to remind them how much you hold them in great contempt. By the way, if Mueller and Comey think they're going to get away with this, no, they will not. They will burn in hell. And how do I know that? Because the Bible says a man's conscience can be seared as with a hot iron. You cannot do the things these guys do at this level and not have a seared conscience, theologically speaking, in my opinion. So don't think that Comey and Mueller and the rest of them can get away. They will burn in hell for eternity. Because I don't think there's any hope for some of these characters to ever come to repentance. Ever. You get to this level where you're turning a blind eye to sex trafficking, molesting and raping of little children, and the FBI has known for years some of this stuff was going on, and you turn a blind eye to this evil, and you turn a blind eye to people coming into the country that hate America, that hate Christians, that hate Jews, all the drug running that they all, you know they know about all this, you know they could stop all this. Only people that would not want to stop all of this and do what is good and right and just are people whose conscience has been seared. So don't lose a night's sleep. These people will not get away with it. God will judge them for eternity. It's already been written down. I believe there's zero chance for many of these people to even repent. Not that they would ever want to at this point, because I believe many of them, their conscience has been seared as with a hot iron. The day will come when we will know what happened to Phil Haney. Maybe not on this side of heaven, but we will know, and they will be held accountable by God. And it is going to be a horrible thing, as Jonathan Edwards said, to fall into the hands of an angry God. And don't let your skinny jean, feminized pansy in the pulpit tell you that God is not an angry God. He is. He hates sin. It cost the life of his son, of himself, the God-man. And these people will fall into his hand, and they will be judged for eternity. So let's just remember the good news. They will not get away with it. Maybe in this life, but not in the next, which is for eternity. So you and I are deemed the domestic terrorist while they literally hang out with known jihadis and give them awards. Just think about that and how messed up this is. Here's Phil Haney from July 25th, 2019.
What's interesting, Phil, is that you have these people, particularly guys like Mueller, Comey, running around giving awards to known jihadis, the FBI director's award to known jihadis. Both Comey and Mueller did that. Purging the information, protecting Muslim Brotherhood, protecting Hamas, protecting CARE, going against you, going against John Guandola, going against Michelle Bachmann, anyone that tries to warn Americans, Congressman Weldon. If the American people realize what I'm saying here, their jaw should drop open. We have some of the most powerful people in central government and law enforcement that are defending people that have openly written and stated they want to destroy America and enslave us as slaves. And they're being protected and advanced by members of law enforcement at the central government level. And those who are trying to warn about this are being persecuted and in some cases prosecuted. In your case, a grand jury convened against you. So when I say we're involved in a civil war, we are. These guys are trying to help the Red-Green Axis carry out a revolution. And this is all going on as we watch a president fighting them off. And can you imagine what's going to happen in the boomerang if the American people give the House and the Senate and the White House back to these communists? Can you imagine what lays ahead for you and I and guys like us who have spent years talking like we have? Can you imagine what they have in store for us?
I don't
know. Is that not a chilling question I just asked him? I mean, I got to back it up. Little did I know what I was just asking Phil Haney. Let me back it up.
And they're being protected and advanced by members of law enforcement at the central government level. And those who are trying to warn about this are being persecuted and in some cases prosecuted. In your case, a grand jury convened against you. So when I say we're involved in a civil war, we are. These guys are trying to help the Red-Green Axis carry out a revolution. And this is all going on as we watch a president fighting them off. And can you imagine what's going to happen in the boomerang if the American people give the House and the Senate and the White House back to these communists? Can you imagine what lays ahead for you and I and guys like us who have spent years talking like we have? Can you imagine what they have in store for us?
Is that not chilling? Knowing that they murdered, and I believe that's exactly what happened, knowing that they, whoever it is, the Red-Green Axis, the Red Side, the Green Side, the Red Side and the Green Side with the Deep State, somebody murdered Phil Haney. He didn't commit suicide. He wasn't talking to all of us about his book is coming here the very next month to film more TV shows, how he was going to be on the road speaking full-time during the elections year and awakening patriots, talking excitedly about someone he had met and had a lady that he built a friendship with after the passing of his wife that was just excruciating on him. This was not a guy that was depressed. And I don't know how many people shoot themselves in the chest, right? And here I am asking him, can you imagine what they have in store for us, meaning you, Phil? Wow. Here's his answer.
I don't have to imagine, friend. For me, it's real. I've seen it. It's not theoretical. None of this is theoretical. And that, I have to admit, is a little bit, okay, frustrating maybe, even sometimes irritating, that we keep having these kind of conversations. I don't mean you and I mean in the general public. Imagine what it would be like. We don't have to imagine. I've seen these people up close and personal. The same people that investigated President Trump are literally, I don't mean sort of, kind of, I mean literally exactly the same people that came after people like me. I'm talking the Muellers, the Comeys, Napolitano, Jay Johnson, Clinton, Obama, Clapper, Holder, the whole crew, the whole roster of Obama-era officials that were coming after people like myself, came out into the open when they went after President Trump, because they had to. They had the luxury of operating behind the walls of agencies before President Trump was elected. But they got caught off guard, and they had to make a really high-risk move and come right out into the public view and go after President Trump. But I've seen the very same people operating behind the walls of the agencies for years before President Trump was ever elected, and enabling and abetting and appointing individuals with known derogatory ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and groups like Hamas, bringing them into positions of influence and authority within the federal government, including my own agency, Department of Homeland Security, and then giving them exactly the same access to the databases and classified systems that people like myself had.
Okay, let me just stop right there. I don't know if what he just said ever really registered with me until right now. Did you hear what he just said? Bringing the bad people into the agency, not just into the country, folks. Not just into the country. Bringing the bad guys, bringing the enemies, the sworn enemies of America, into the agencies and giving them direct access to the same secure national security database information that Phil had. Now that means, folks, they would know, if they wanted to, everything within I think this is a safe statement. Within reason, they would be able, with enough work, to know everything that Phil knew. They would be able to know everything that Phil knew in regards to the information he was gleaning, protecting, saving. So we not only let bad guys into the U.S. that want to hurt Americans and bring down America, we gave them access to know an awful lot about you and me, to know a lot about you and me. That let me back that up. We got to hear that again.
And groups like Hamas, bringing them into positions of influence and authority within the federal government, including my own agency, Department of Homeland Security, and then giving them exactly the same access to the databases and classified systems that people like myself had. And then watching gradually as all of our work was eradicated, erased off the blackboard, flushed, and then come after us for having the audacity to do our jobs and put that information in the system in the first place.
All right, we come back from the break. Let's talk about what we need to do.
Oh, wow. All right, so we had two breaks going there, one on the recording and now one in the real live environment of 129 Central Time. Today being January, whatever today is. I don't know. I've lost track. What is it? The 20th?
20th.
All right. We'll be right back after this break. Don't go away. come back. Let's go back to this interview from July 25th, 2019 with Phil Haney. Here we go.
What is, give me an action point of what people can do. Any person listening today that has a computer, has a phone, what can they do, Phil?
Well, you know, as you're saying, it reminded me of the verse, faith without works is dead. And people, it might grind them the wrong way to associate secular, quote-unquote secular, because that's a misdefinition. Our government was instituted by the Lord himself. So we have this false separation between our walk of faith and politics and things that are going on in the government. They're actually synonymous. So if you want to pray and have action, if you want to find out real quick whether what we're saying is really true or not, because if you doubt it, that's healthy. It's not. It's healthy to take things with a grain of salt and then test them out yourself. If you want to find out that whether what you and I are really are talking about is really true or not, here's what one thing you can do. Contact your local and state representatives all the way up to your member of the House that represents your district and ask them whether or not they support the designation of the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. You're going to find out real quick whether or not the deep state really exists by their answer. If they say, yes, I do, and yes, I've co-sponsored the bill that's in the House and the Senate, then that's a good answer. If they start equivocating and giving you excuses why they haven't done it yet, that's like the old science class we used to do in junior high with the test tubes and the beakers. Remember litmus paper? You put the little colored paper in the liquid and it would turn color. Well, that's an indication right there that they don't actually understand the real reason why they're there holding public office in the first place. And tie that in with what I said earlier, that the law enforcement part of our government is the most corrupt of all. If
How
it
scary.
Wasn't, we would
How
have
scary.
Designated them a long time ago. But we still haven't to this day, years and years after they were designated, or I should say shown in the Holy Land Foundation trial back in 2008, to be direct front groups for Hamas. So why are they still walking literally up and down of the halls of Congress? Why is Linda Sarsour calling for jihad against the president and allowed to even have a voice in the public? I don't mean lock her up. She has freedom of speech. But what I'm talking about is, why aren't we responding to that and pointing to who these people really are? And not to mention Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and Keith Ellison and other people in Congress that are known promoters and supporters of Hamas. How can you say that, Mr. Haney? I can say it because they speak at CARE events, and we already know that CARE is Hamas. So why are we allowing public officials to be openly affiliated with known terrorist organizations? If you can answer that question, or if you address that question and ask that to your elected representatives, you will find out real quick whether this thing called the deep state really exists and whether what you and I are talking about right now is just a bunch of baloney. It isn't. It's actually quite real. So have the courage to address it and find out for yourself whether or not what we're talking about is real. That will introduce you. You'll get, you know, introduction 101 into deep state if you simply do that one thing. The other thing you can do is get involved and get out to vote local delegate level for your party and get involved in the next election cycle, because a third of all the registered evangelical voters in the country don't even bother showing up to vote. So why? That's, we have to solve that too. So there's two things right there. Get involved in the electoral process and take the courage to call your elected representative and ask them point blank whether or not they support designation of the Muslim Brotherhood, and even follow that up with a letter. Because even if they never respond, at least you put it on the record that you wrote a letter back in July of 2019 asking your elected officials whether or not they support the designation of the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. Right there would be a lot to do for anybody.
All right.
All right, I'm going to pause it right there, and it's just fascinating, isn't it? All right, now, we're not going to be able to get to all of this because I want to open up the phone lines here in a minute, and I think we're going to hear from Dick and Annie again today on their thoughts. But here is a little bit of a television show of Phil, filmed here at this very news desk in our Mid-South studio where we produced Phil's TV show, National Security Meltdown. He was supposed to be back in March of 2020, the year he was killed. The very next month, he was going to be back filming his next series of shows. He was already working on them. But he was warning about the terror tunnels coming into the U.S. Listen to this. Let's see if it's going to play. Is it going to play for me? Oh, it's going to go right back to the beginning. All right, that's wonderful. All right, let me skip ahead here. Here we go. I think I know about where it's at.
Friends of mine from ICE or Border Patrol in the States, at least. But they characterize it as disheartening, discouraging, and deflating. Well, imagine what law
enforcement. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here, guys, because
they're to protect our own national security.
All right, here we go. See if this is it.
The nuclear option, Democrats.
Nope, that's still not it.
Manipulate the language
to keep it
for the suitcase handle, and find one of these subjects in this series on national security meltdown that you can really get involved with, because there's a place for everyone, whether you're a military personnel in the political arena, or even in law enforcement. There's still a place for you as a civilian as well. Here we're back to tunnels again. This is just a couple months ago. Border wall debate. While this big argument is going on in Washington every day, every week, every month, they continue to find more tunnels under the border. This one happens to be in Arizona. I have a friend who has land on the border and sees it up close and personal, and she finds it nearly impossible to get anyone in Congress to even listen to her. Even when you bring it in and lay it on the table in front of members of Congress, they seem like paralyzed, incapable of responding to the reality of the threat that we see on our border. That's because their political ideology has taken precedence over their allegiance to the Constitution. They are politicians. What we need is fewer politicians and more statesmen who actually base their positions on principles from the Constitution and then stand up for it, no matter whether it's popular or not. Law enforcement agrees that the media's border denialism is absurd. Look at these Border Patrol officers, how heavily protected they are, even the horses. They have shields over their face and eyes. These guys are putting their life on the risk every single day. And they're unsung heroes, the Border Patrol guys, the ICE people, and the Customs and Border Protection officers who work and see this every single day. Ask any of them, they'll tell you, there's no question that we have a crisis on the southern border. But for some reason, the elected officials in positions of authority just can't seem to find the wherewithal to go and actually ask the people that are there on the ground every day, tell me, what's really happening here at the border? Because I can guarantee you, if they had the opportunity, any line officer working on the border would tell them exactly the reality of the situation. Here's another headline from January 20th that says Nancy Pelosi and her entourage are acting like children. Well, I would add that they're acting like dangerous children, spoiled, rotten children who refuse to cooperate if they don't get their way. And the problem is with these positions that they put the entire country at risk, and very seldom, if ever, do they seem to be held accountable for the decisions and the positions that they take. I hope that changes in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Remember, she said during the negotiations before the shutdown that she wasn't going to give President Trump even $1? So my pop quiz at this moment in the presentation, is that constitutional? Is her position that we're not going to give any funding to the wall, maybe $1, sarcastically, is that actually constitutional? And I'll let you look into that and decide for yourself. And I mentioned earlier already about Iran and Hezbollah, but just so that you see that it's still very recent It's not just something that used to happen. It's still happening now. Here's the president of Venezuela with Ayatollah from Iran. So there's a very, very strong influence of Hezbollah and Iran and also other Sunni Salafi pro-jihad groups that are operating in Central and South America. In a little bit, I'll show you a map of the tri-border area. And here's another headline from recent. Terrorists who targeted Americans takes over Mexican cartel on Texas border. We have these incredibly violent people that are pushing themselves into position where they're taking over these cartels. They're merciless. And I don't know if you've ever taken the time to go online and look at some of the pictures of what happens to these people that have the misfortune of encountering cartel killers. But it's so obscene and graphic that I'm not even going to try to describe it. But again, like with human trafficking, if you look into this, make sure you're prepared, because you have to have a really strong heart to even have the ability to look at how bad things really are on the southern border. January 29th, just about a week, month and a half ago, President Trump puts out a daily news announcement, 1,600 daily. You can get on the mailing list, and says, in just the past 2 years, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, have arrested more than 260,000 criminals who exploited our broken system, including people charged or convicted of nearly 100,000 assaults, 30,000 sex crimes, and 4,000 homicides. So if this is not a crisis, then please tell me, to what level will it have to rise before it's actually acknowledged as a crisis? I don't know what definition people in Congress are using to define a crisis, but apparently whatever it is doesn't include these kind of statistics. And again, they seem to be immune from any accountability. I think if this kind of thing came to their front door, they might become suddenly much more serious about their responsibilities and duties as elected officials to uphold the Constitution and help protect us from threat, both foreign and domestic, and as in the Constitution, invasions. Meanwhile, after President Trump declared a national emergency regarding the wall, obstructionist Democrats have come out and vowed to file a lawsuit. That was on January 30th of 2019, and they followed up. They actually did it. Minnesota is among 16 states suing to halt President Trump's emergency declaration. Now, why in the world? Where do you think this worldview, this ideology, this political position is coming from? It's not coming from the Constitution. So if that's the case, then what do you call people like this? And I'll leave that to you to answer.
Great point. What do you call people like this that don't want to secure America, that do fundraisers with jihadis, that work with, promote, and protect people that call the Jews apes and pigs? We're the domestic terrorists. You understand the domestic terrorists are in charge of the government agencies now, right? And they're working with international terrorists. You understand everything is psychological projection? Annie and Dick from Maryland will join us, both friends of Phil Haney, right after this. back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Joining me now is Annie Cyrus of liveuptofreedom.com and Dick from Maryland. We're not using his last name because of a sensitive position that one of his relatives is in. Guys, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brian, for having us back.
Right. Thank you for keeping the story going.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to get into Operation Cassandra tomorrow. Do you want to comment on what you've been hearing so far, Dick?
Well, it's chilling to see Philip again and hear Philip again and realize how things have deteriorated, how brilliant he was. He's a prophet in terms of what he's talking about. How ironic he was talking about the inability to get anybody to deal with the Muslim Brotherhood designation as terrorists. And here we are now. People who supported Trump, people that are anti-vax, that are not getting vaccinated, are about to be designated or are being designated informally as terrorists and formally setting law enforcement against those people. So I think it's chilling, and it's important to hear Philip.
Doesn't that just show you how far we have sunk, even since Phil passed away 2 years ago next month, that we couldn't get known jihadis designated as a terrorist organization, Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood, CARE. We have them getting the highest-ranking FBI Director's Award under Mueller and under Comey. We have them going into Congress, and there's no problem with that. We're allowing them to break, you know, long, long, long-standing tradition when it comes to wearing your hats or headgear or hijab now on the floor of the House of Representatives. These people are protected. They're allowed to come into the Department of Homeland Security and actually get jobs. They're given awards. They can raise money, send it all back overseas. Nothing happens to them. They're all protected. But the ones that are being designated as domestic terrorists are Christians, conservatives, patriots. I mean, does that not show you that we are literally in a civil war in America, Dick?
Well, it certainly does. And, of course, if Philip was alive today, they would be designating him. They'd have wanted signs up for Philip's picture. By the way, what Philip was doing, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, he was so brave during the Trump administration, which I think you're calling Obama 3.0. It was the third term of Obama. The deep state was functioning antagonistically against what Trump was trying to do. And Philip was out and about talking about that specifically. He was talking about the new news, as you reported, things that were happening to contradict and contravene what Trump was trying to accomplish. So Philip was actually spilling the beans every day, every time he opened his mouth during the Trump administration. It was really Obama pulling the strings in the deep state, and he had seen the deep state and suffered under it, and yet he was out there brave enough to talk about it.
And Annie, he had kept these records. He knew who had deleted the information from the government databases. He told us, sitting on the platform at our Ozarks Worldview Weekend in front of well over 1,000 people that was being filmed for our documentary Sabotage, and people can see that at sabotagethemovie.com, he said, I have the records. I kept them. I can tell you everyone that deleted these records of these jihadis and terrorist-type groups and who was trying to bring them into the U.S. I have them, President Trump. I can put your hand on the valve if you want to drain the swamp. Enlist me. And I can put your hand on the valve. You'll have to turn it, but I can put your hand on the valve that you have to turn to drain the swamp. I know who the people are who are still in government, who are still in power, who are responsible for bringing jihadis into the country and compromising America's safety. I know who they are. I have that information. That's what he was saying, Annie.
Yes. He did say that, not just once, but repeatedly he did say that. But I'm going to be the negative voice today, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I think Phil would agree with what I'm about to say. I want to say this. Honestly, our country is at a point that who cares who's designated what? And I say that for this reason. President Trump designated IRGC, Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, as a terrorist group, and he also designated Ebrahim Raisi as a terrorist and put him on personal sanctions by the government here in America. Guess what? Who cares? Biden regime accepted and acknowledged Ebrahim Raisi as a current president of Islamic Republic of Iran sitting on negotiation tables, and also Biden regime allowing IRGC member openly active in America. So who cares who's designating who as what?
Mm. Talk to me about what Phil was warning about. He was warning about Iran being all over South America, there in Venezuela. On the TV show, he showed a picture of the president of Venezuela with the president of Iran. I'm reading more and more reports of how much Iran is all over South America. I know we talk about China being all over South America. I know we talk about Russia having flown in nuclear, hypersonic or supersonic jets into Venezuela a few years ago. It's in my documentary, Siege. But Iran is all over South America. Can you comment to that, Annie?
Of course. Actually, one of the most interesting things that I didn't even know until Phil Haney told me is the biggest Shia religious school built by Ayatollah Khomeini, the previous supreme leader of Iran, is located in South America. They are producing Shia imams and muftis in South America. That was information I didn't even know about until Phil Haney told me, sent me the information to research, and I figured it all out.
What more can you tell us about the terror tunnels, Annie? I mean, that was one of his last shows that he did for us, TV-wise. What?
Yes.
I mean, and it's like we used to be reading about the terror tunnels being found in Arizona, San Diego, other places. That's just kind of gone quiet. You know they're still there. You know they're still digging them. You know they're still using them. What are they using them for other than sex trafficking and drugs?
They are also using them for importing the jihadis. Remember when I was on your show about a month ago or maybe 3 weeks ago, I said the number of the jihadis or Taliban handpicked Al-Qaeda members are not the only thing we should be afraid of, because Iran has started importing Hezbollah members. That's part of Iran's deal with cartel, by the way, just so you know. This isn't just about drug versus weapons. Part of the deal of Islamic Republic of Iran regime with the cartel, Mexican cartel, is for them to smuggle Hezbollah members into America, because the government has found ways to let in Hamas, IRGC, all that, but there's no way they can publicly let in Hezbollah members, because Hezbollah is all over the world known as terrorists. And after September 11 and involvement of Hezbollah with September 11, there was no way around it. So Iran made the deal with Mexican cartel to import them in.
All right, we'll pick it up tomorrow, guys. Thank you. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.